Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Salem Media Group, the station, or its advertisers. Live from Northern California, it's Lifeline with Jesse Gastan. He's the host of Way of Grace, a pastor and a community leader. He's a teacher and an inspiration. He's Lifeline's own Jesse Gastan.
I do want to welcome you to another Monday edition of Lifeline. A very complex day we have today. I'm sorry about that. The weather is inclement. It's raining all over the place. And we're having just a few challenges at the Attila de Haan. So if we sound less of a quality across the airwaves, forgive us for that. We hope to have that resolved by our next segment. Again, welcome to the Monday edition of Lifeline. This is November 25th. We are 3 days away from celebrating God's abundance of grace to us in the Americas and in the Western Hemisphere for having provided for us for so many centuries now, a celebration that not all partake of and not all partake of in the same way, but we're looking for Thanksgiving. We're looking forward to Thanksgiving. I hope that you are. I say this every year to you that I trust that you have family and friends and loved ones with whom you might be able to gather, that you made provisions for that, and that you will be gathering, and that you will take advantage of building a memorable time of conversation and discourse and dialogue and loving on each other and resonating with God's goodness in our life and just being overall thankful. Thankful at the top of the list for the one true and living God being who he is. He is God Almighty. He is the infinite of the universe. He is the immutable, unchangeable, undescribable, indescribable bliss revealed to us in the person of his son, Jesus the Christ, and made manifest to us in a saving way in the person of the Holy Spirit who makes Christ a reality in our lives. I hope that's the case for you. I hope that is the case for those of you who do not know him in the pardon of your sins and the redemption of his grace and the glory of his splendor, that that might happen to you one day. But if we think about it, whether saved or not, as the psalmist puts it, the whole earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. God's mercies are renewed every day. And as David said in the Psalms, your mercies are everywhere. His chesed is everywhere. His faithfulness is everywhere. His steadfastness is everywhere. His contrition is everywhere. If God were acting fully out of his justice, none of us would be here. But mercy flowing through righteousness allows us to live, breathe, and have our being in God even to today. So what might I say about Thanksgiving? There's a lot for which I could be thankful for, and I'm sure that's the case for you. I'm absolutely thankful once again for who I am in Christ, a child of the living God, a new creature in Christ, unique from every other child of God and unique creature in Christ, Jesse Gastan. Very thankful for God's mercy to me. Almost 42 years ago, in calling me by his grace and saving me through his mercy and the redemption that's in Christ, and opening my eyes to the reality of the kingdom of God and the reality of the kingdom of darkness. Very thankful for that. Very thankful for him keeping me to this hour. To this very hour, God has kept me by his grace. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God be glory and dominion and power forever and ever. That's why I'm thankful. But we can all be thankful for at least four things. At least four things we can be thankful for today. That's what the psalmist says. We frequently quote it, do we not? Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24 is a rich text. It's not only speaking to the fact that that every day that God has given us is a day to rejoice in. But the psalm is speaking in that psalm richly about the day of Christ's suffering and resurrection, richly about Christ being established by the Father on his throne and ruling over everything at this present hour. If you look at the previous verses, it is speaking to the fact that the stones which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, and that stone is Christ. And that rejection took place almost 2,000 years ago by hostile men who did not know the presence of the true and the living God in the visible Yahweh. His name was Yeshua. He is Jesus. He is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the world knows this now. That was the day that the Lord made, the day of his resurrection, when he rose again from the dead. Psalms 2, this day have I begotten thee. He is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the creator of all things. He has upheld all things to this very second by the word of his power, and all things consist of his sovereign energy upholding it together for his glory and his good. So we are thankful for that day, not only this day, but that day of the resurrection of Christ, by which in his resurrection, he justifies all those that come to him by faith. Salvation is a subject of grace and a subject of faith through grace, which looks to Christ as the grounds of our righteousness and our hope for glory. But we're also thankful for the provisions of this day. That's what our master told us to do in Matthew chapter 10, Luke 6. He said, when you pray, pray this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is the name of the one true and living God. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. This is what we will, and this is what God wills. This is a fusion of the will of God and a fusion of the will of the people of God. Nothing better can take place in the world than the will of God. And according to Ephesians 1:11, the will of God is taking place. All things are working after the counsel of his own will. So we are thankful for God's will because God has provided for us. So he says, you are to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth or in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And when we look deeply into that request, it is, provide for us the portion meat for us today, as we hope that you will provide for us the portion meat for us tomorrow. And of course, the daily bread exceeds the boundaries of physical food. It is also speaking to care and comfort and provision and a roof over our head and a sound mind and spiritual wealth, mostly a spiritual diet that is sufficiently met in the person of Jesus, who is the bread of life for all of us who trust him. That is also the thing for which we are thankful and will be thankful in a few days. But we also are thankful for a mind that can think this well. The Bible tells us that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So God has given us his spirit. He has poured into our hearts the agape, and that grants us the faith to diminish and deal with and mitigate all of the fearful things that are coming upon the earth. We got to talk about some of that today. You know that, and all of the fearful things that are presently in our world because of his brokenness. But he has given us the spirit of love, power, love, and of a sound mind to actually address those matters. So put on the whole armor of God that you might withstand the evil one, that you might stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then fourthly, as we think about thankfulness in the area of God's goodness to us on Thursday, but we can start today, amen? We can start today. We thank God for not only life, another day, not only his provisions, not only being able to think well as we're doing right now, because we could be out of our mind, but also we thank him for the grace of repentance. Repentance is a gift from God. Men do not repent apart from the grace of God. And it's a wonderful thing to be in a state of repentance, because that means you're in a state of growth. That's exactly what he meant when he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A renewed mind is coming to revelations of what is right all the time, and therefore also coming to revelations of what is wrong. And God grants us the ability to repent of what is wrong and then to move in a better direction. This is metanoia. And that's what we're thankful for as well. This is the Monday edition of Lifeline. Your host, Jesse Gibson, keeping you company for the next hour and a half. The number is 1-888-367-5329. 1-888-367-5329. Lots to talk about. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.
And now back to Lifeline.
Indeed, we are. The time is 5:19 on this Monday edition of Lifeline. The number to reach me is 1-888-367-5329, 1-888-367-5329. And you know, what I think I want to do right along with just kind of keeping you updated with some of the stuff I'm dealing with is open the phone lines to a reflection of thankfulness and then maybe a question. Or an observation, a reflection of thankfulness. We are moving toward the end of the year. I talked to our congregation about it yearly as we move to the end. Moving from December 31st to January 1st is no small matter. Between now and the end of the year, millions of people will have died, either have gone on to glory or gone on to that place of darkness where there will ultimately be because of a lack of recognition and submission to the crown rights of Christ, weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is a sad prospect. This is why very thankful for Christian radio, very thankful for the opportunity to be on the radio as we are every day at noon, 12 noon is Grace Bible Church, our preaching ministry, teaching ministry. And I hope that many of you out there are blessed by my expository preaching and teaching, putting our hand on the text, dealing with the text, teaching from the text, talking from the text, tethered to the text, and talking about Christ, who is the essence of the text. Hope you're blessed by that. I can imagine. I talk about this as we get closer to Christmas, but I'll say it even now. Again, the number is 1-888-367-5329. Love to get about 10 callers between now and the end of the program. Thankful for Christian radio, Christian ministry, Christian labors. Yes. The Christian church from the days of Christ have been a problematic, controversial, complex system of expression, even to this hour. Everything about it is not good. There's a lot about it that's really bad, but that's just because we are in between grace and glory. I mean, that could be said about all of us, could it not? A lot about us is good, a lot about us is not good. A lot of bad stuff going on as well, but I'm thankful for it because think about it, you know, for this next hour and a half, you're engaging someone with a reasonably sound mind, somewhat of a knowledge of the word of the living God and capable of encouraging, exhorting, and admonishing you. And you're not getting that everywhere. I'm going to talk about that here in a moment, but to be able to cut the radio on or go to your apps and your cell phones and all of that and hear Christian ministry is a phenomenal blessing. It has been a very staple for many of us for decades. I remember my earlier years of listening to Christian radio as a young believer and realizing how important it was, particularly in the times in which I was going through a lot of really dark places. It was kind of a valley of the shadow of death. I'm teaching the Pilgrim's Progress at Grace Bible Church in Hayward. And if you don't know what that's like, you should join us Tuesday nights at 6:30, at 7 o'clock till 8 o'clock. You can join us online, gbchayward@gmail.com. You can get a hold of us online. You can listen to us online as we talk about how the Pilgrim's Progress journeys through all of the difficulties and painful struggles that God allows us to endure for his glory and for our sanctification. Very helpful. We're in some extremely advisory aspects of the Pilgrim's Progress right now. And so if you haven't ever been exposed to that classical work called the Pilgrim's Progress, and you are a believer, you should. But again, going through dark times, to be able to hear a voice in the ether, in the air, on the radio, on live stream, on the internet, talking about the things of God, calling us to repentance and faith, anchoring us in the truths of God's word, helping us to weather the storms of this ubiquitous system of lies called a propagandized dark kingdom, which is constantly, pervasively draping you and I with nothing but lies. A good portion of our work is aletheia, that is pulling back the curtains to reveal what really is taking place. That's called revelation. And so that's what we deal with. And one of the things that the gospel does is brings about the light of the glory of God in the knowledge of Christ to bear upon our hearts, illuminating the darkness and therefore also illuminating the light of his person and work. And that's what changes us. There's a kind of red pill, but we call it the white pill. And so as Christians, that is one of the things I do want to encourage you to continue being, as I stated last week, be Christians who know how to red pill people, who know how to white pill people. Help people wake up to the reality of the things that are going on in our crazy world. And you will be salt and light as Jesus told us to be. So I'm very thankful for that opportunity. 1-888-367-5329. You can get on the line, and we can begin to have some Christian discourse in the same way that Pilgrim and Faithful is having as well. What are you thankful for? And then maybe one thing that you might ask in request or observation. 1-888-367-5329. 1-888-367-5329. One thing I can say in conjunction with the blessing of Christian radio is that I can tell you, if you are completely dependent upon your secular media, you need to know that your secular media does not give you what you need to know. It gives you what they want you to know. Your secular media on the left and the right gives you only what you want to know, not what you need to know. Now, it's all right for you to have a craving, a confident craving for the things you want to know. But listen, child of God, if you think that you're going to survive this world only by the things you want to know and not the things you need to know, you're going to be deceived again, because you and I are not saved by our wants. You and I are saved by our needs. We're saved by our needs. We need to be saved. In fact, God had to save us in conjunction with our need, because we didn't want to be saved. And so salvation is a matter of need, not a matter of want. After conversion, the heart now wants God. It wants truth. It desires truth. It desires to know God. But we don't always like the truth. And so we don't always wake up wanting to hear the truth. This is what I do know. I know that at present, our mainstream media, our legacy media outlets are notoriously and atrociously engaging in malfeasance and absolute deception of the American people. I remember when we were dealing with the Cold War period. And I've talked about this recently because we're almost back up on it. Not completely, but to know that we are closer than ever to a nuclear war, and the media, whether it's Fox and MSNBC, CNN, not informing us adequately of the Biden debacle in Ukraine is utterly alarming and is a travesty of responsibility. And what's my assessment about that is just that the media is controlled. The media is controlled. That means it is a Pravda system that only meets out to the society what the operating systems above it demand and tell it to do, so that you will be late in getting the true news because you're bombarded by all kinds of ancillary and secondary and tertiary information that keeps you distracted. Putin said in about 60 days, if the bombing of Russia by Biden's proxy, that is Ukraine, will not stop. They will regret the provocation because Putin has just said, hey, we're going to put an end to this. You're not going to just keep launching missiles into Russia and we not do something about that. Now, one of the things I'm going to do with our congregation at Grace is talk to them about the madness of what is called the escalation of war plans. Why crazy, stupid, backwards, maniacal nations engage in war provocation? Like, you would wonder, knowing the potential for a nuclear exchange to wipe out our world, why would our government push the envelope? What's called the war of escalation theory. And I'll be teaching our congregation that, because you really want to know who the fools are. And the fools are the people who think they can push the envelope so far to get what they want and not have negative or unintended consequences. But that makes you a fool. That makes you an absolute fool. And our government engages in these kind of war games that are above the American people's capacity to reason through. And they have to do it that way because they know we would not agree to these kind of incremental steps of provocation that go on year after year after year, decade after decade after decade, until there is an alarm of war. And we're on the brink of that. And we at least need to know that. We at least need to know that. And you aren't even told, okay, now if you hear the sirens, get under the table because a nuclear bomb is going to happen. And when it happens, you want to stay under the table until the air clears, as if that's going to work. And you and I know better. The number is 1-888-367-5329, 1-888-367-5329. If you want to join me on the Monday edition of Lifeline, I think all the lines are open. 1-888-367-5329. What are you thankful for? And maybe a question or an observation. This is the Monday edition of Lifeline. We'll be right back.
And now back to Lifeline.
Indeed, we are. The time is 5:34 on the Monday edition of Lifeline. One line open, 1-888-367-5329. 1-888-367-5329. Talking briefly before we go to the phone lines, talking briefly just about the manipulation, the suppression, the distortion, the misrepresentation, the intentional delay of data release, the strategy that the media plays on society is so effective, so radically effective, and you got to give them credit for it. It's been working for decades upon decades. It's called the manufacturing of consent. This is what Noam Chomsky has said for years now, the manufacturing of consent. This is Operation Mockingbird and Paperclip and just methods that really came out of Russia after the Nuremberg trials, utilizing the different Marxist tactics, essential deceiving a people group and leaving them incapable of distinguishing truth from reality without engaging in real discipline of the mind, objectivity, sound protocol for critical thinking, which is not something that people do easily because we've been trained by Edward Bernays' tactic of propaganda. And so we are existential creatures with such a hyper emotional center that we can be deceived by our feelings and be deceived by the performance of the media outlets that come off as if they are real news when all they are, again, are propagandized mouthpieces. And this is why you see so much movement on the part of the left in terms of folks wanting to get on the bandwagon with Mr. Trumpster. I could talk a long time about the benefits of joining the winning team of any party whenever they win. That echelon of different categories of placement into which snaky people can reformulate themselves, restructure themselves, redefine themselves, and represent themselves in order to be part of the power dynamic goes on in both politics and media all the time. And that's what you and I are seeing. You don't know that many of the media pundits have come out of the CIA, FBI, and different intelligence agencies to sit behind the desk and look as if they are legitimate journalists when all they are pre-programmed spokesmen and spokeswomen for a for an agenda that does not really amount to making America first. This is why there's such a massive meltdown in your media outlets over the fact that Donald Trump won this time. But for those of you, again, who are pro-Trumpsters, you need to be very careful to recognize what's happening with all of these movements, these realignment movements. A lot of them are very telling as well. And should we make it to January 20th? Should we make it there with all of the different prognostications and the sort of agenda settings by the different interest groups? You will begin to see a number of things that will transpire that will simply amount again to the fact that you really cannot and should not ever lean into your government as if they will tell you the truth. I don't care what side it is, you are going to be woefully disappointed. If we can get the Trumpster, if he can make it there before, you know, something bad happening, if we can get the Trumpster to do 30% of what he said he's going to do, because he's not going to do it all, because he can't, he's not a god, and he's not a king. But if he can do 30%, 40% of what he said he's going to do, then it's going to be left upon the American people who are wise and prudent and competent to be able to take up the rest of the slack to turn this ship around, because we are definitely on the brink of a complete and comprehensive global takeover. And you need to know that. For instance, I'll give you one, just one. This is just absolutely phenomenal to me. If you've been on this planet long enough, what you do know is that if you're going to have a decent life, you got to take making money seriously. This is what you know. If you've been on this planet long enough, you got to take money seriously. You got to understand economics. You got to understand the bottom line and profit making. You got to understand the correlations between work and energy application and the reciprocal process of making money. You got to understand what it means to make money, what it means to save money, what it means to invest money, what it means to use money. Make, save, invest, and use. Make, save, invest, and use, because the people way at the top do. And you and I would never get away with what I'm about to tell you. You would never get away with this. You and I would be put under the jail. If someone came along and said to you, we got to do an audit, and you gotta account for all the money that you have spent and wasted over these last umpteen years. Let's just say, you know, 10 years. There has been an audit on the Department of Defense, whether you know it or not. An audit on the Department of Defense for how they waste our taxpayer money. And I don't want to get too graphic on this, because I can tell you right now, it's just a sad reality. I heard this years ago when I was a young person. I don't know if you have, but I heard it years ago that the government has a black book and they spend money on things for which they can't give an account of. And right now, according to Fox News, the DOD has just kind of magically lost $827 billion. They just kind of magically lost $827 billion. Did you hear what I just stated? $827 billion. $824 billion. And you know what they said? Give us until 2028 and we'll figure out where the money went. That's like George W. Bush, after 3 or 4 years of piping the threat of Saddam Hussein having weapons of mass destruction, him and Colin Powell, and it was a flat-out lie. He was caught at a party one time. The question was raised to him, where are the weapons of mass destruction? And jokingly, he bends down and reaches under the table and says, comes from under the table and says, I'm still looking for them, which means he lied to the American people. Colin Powell, one of the first prominent black generals, lied to the American people about anthrax and weapons of mass destruction, putting on a perfect Hollywood presentation to manipulate the American people into fear and anger and to go over and crush another country, that is Iraq, in the name of democracy. And it worked. And it's been working ever since then till now. Only the reality is that people are waking up to the fact that our government is a system of pathological liars, a system of pathological liars that needs to be held accounted for before we tumble and fall like the Roman Empire. And I know that's going to happen because God is not mocked whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. The nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. And we're experiencing some of the heat dissipation of that transformation even now, if God doesn't grant our nation absolute repentance and turning back to him, which has not happened. Hasn't happened in Washington, hasn't happened across our nation. We have not yet repented. We have not repented. Please understand that. All of the trying to win these political positions and make America great again is a far cry from repentance. Please understand that. So be very careful to be sober enough to deal with when God breaks the silence and begin to correct us as he needs to. I can see my phone lines are filling up. They are filling up. Let me go to line number one right quick and talk with Travis. Travis, are you there?
Yes. Good evening, Pastor Jesse. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. What's your thoughts?
So first of all, I'm thankful for so many things. I'm thankful for everything.
Amen.
So my question is, as a Christian, I know that we have to struggle. So for one that doesn't like to struggle, but wants to receive all the blessings of God, does that person have a lapse in character? And if so, how would a person like that strengthen their character?
Yeah, that question is so general, Travis, that I am going to make a sage observation around it. And I might take it up after the break here. You and I got about a minute. First of all, none of us like to suffer. That is a fundamental principle in the scripture. The Hebrew writer said in chapter 12, no chastening seems to be pleasant at the moment. So I can understand that candidacy. I can understand that earnestness, right? And I can definitely understand it for older people. I get it. I get older people being tired of struggles, tired of suffering. They just want glory. So I'm going to give them a break. For younger people, I can understand their bent toward that, but it really doesn't matter. So a couple things. Of course, shrinking away from suffering is definitely a character issue, but it's something we all deal with because suffering and mortification are two sides of the same coin. Romans chapter 8:13. But we're going to suffer anyway. So when Father says he's going to chastise us, he doesn't ask you whether you like it or not, or whether it feels good, or whether you're eager to enter into it. I don't think we find that kind of concession in Scripture. We find Paul saying, I'd rather glory in my infirmities, you know, that Christ might be manifested in my life. But he's exchanging a painful impulse that he would naturally avoid because of a greater revelation, as we talked about on Sunday, that if we have a chief operating principle, a chief object in front of us, which is so glorious that we are willing to endure things that we would not naturally be willing to endure, then God can give us grace to say yes. And that is where we all are. We're going to suffer because God plans on bringing us to glory. Thank you for the call, my dear brother. Got to take a break. When we come back, we'll keep it moving. One line open, 1-888-367-5329. 1-888-367-5329. We'll be right back.
To join the conversation, call 888-4KFAX. That's 888-FORKFAX. And now back to Lifeline.
All right, we are back. The time is 5:51 on the Monday edition of Lifeline. Time does fly when we are having fun. Let's go to line number four and talk with Tanshia. Tanshia, are you there?
Yes, sir. Hi, Pastor.
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
What'd you say?
How are you?
I'm doing fine, and you?
I'm fine, too.
Well, that's good.
What's your thoughts?
I am thankful for peace. I know the difference, the peace that I have in God.
Mm-hmm.
I know the difference between struggling without him and then going through things with him. And as I grow in my experience with him, there's just a lot of things I don't even worry about anymore. I just give it over to God, and I'm at peace that he will guide me, or when the time comes, whatever the situation may be, I will be fine. I've read it. I've seen him do it through all of the experiences in the Bible, in the mm-hmm. Old Testament, and in the New Testament. No matter what the people, no matter what government the people were going under, were mm-hmm. under, God always preserved a remnant. He always preserved his people. I'm thinking about the Israelites even under oppression, they sure. multiplied far greater than the Egyptians.
Correct.
So I just have a piece about it. I did vote, but my hope was not in voting. I did it just because of where I am in my life. I'm experiencing some of these laws and these things that they put in place, and I'm like, who agreed to this? And
right.
so I wanted to be more responsible, and if I could have a say in it, to be able to vote on those propositions, on those things that I don't think is fair, so at least just to show that I'm not gonna take it lying down. But at the end of the day, I pray to God about whoever was gonna be in the presidency, that he would choose the proper person and use them according to his will. I'm trusting in God. He cannot fail. So I am thankful for peace. It's just mm-hmm. so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And
I totally agree.
That's
all. I mean, I totally agree. The peace component is actually a fruit of growth. This is something we're going to talk about on Sunday. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, obviously. And so it's a fruit of growth. We don't have it at the measure that we do now, you know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago. It grows, it matures, and then it also actually strengthens you in the area of making right choices. If you think about it too, you guys, you know, the blessing of peace, and that is a fruit of Christ's messiahship role. That's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where the government shall be upon his shoulders, and of his government there shall be no end. He is the Prince of Peace. So he governs the principles of peace. And to talk about briefly, you know, the voting process is very good, and people who did vote, as did I, we have to know this. I just want to put this out to you guys, that voting is not just this idea of popular voting for one person. That's not really what you're supposed to be doing. You're voting for a president, yes, but if you're going to be in the political process advisedly, you're voting for a lot of different things, a lot of different people with a lot of different policies. If you looked on your ballot, you saw a lot of different things, and we want to be informed about all of those because we can play a part in them even beyond voting. So there are those people who like vote for a president. Those people are not as deeply informed as they should be. And so often for them, the peace is either their man or woman got voted in. And if yeah. they did, then they feel pretty good about it. But if their man or their woman didn't get voted in, then, you know, you see these meltdowns going on all over the place.
That was surprising to me. And that's why I said peace, because it didn't bother me who right. I didn't have that meltdown.
It was
amazing. And so that's what made me value the peace that I have, to see these people melting down.
That's right. That's very true.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. And it's still happening, and it's going to happen more because they bought into a lie, which I'm going to kind of completely deconstruct now. No president is God. No president is king. No president is a monarch. He can't speak things into existence. He can't make things happen. He can't by himself undo anything. So we just have to know that as the people of God. And when we do, then we can vote and let, as the proverb says, the lot is cast into the lap. That's called voting. But the disposal thereof is of the Lord. That means trusting God for the outcome. Mm-hmm. Right. Very, very good. Yeah. Thank you, sis. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Blessings. Let me see here. Oh, okay. So I still got about 4 minutes on this one. I want to move up to line number three. I'm going to just deal with some ladies for a minute, and I'll talk to Lisa. Lisa, are you there?
Hi, Jesse. I am here.
How are you?
I'll just go over a couple of points to just a comment on it. Please, mm-hmm. I'm so grateful that that God plucked me out during COVID. I'm Amen. So blessed. And I was
me
able
too.
To be a blessing to so many mm-hmm. people. So praise the Lord. And mm-hmm. I loved everything that Tanshia said. It was just absolutely so on point.
Yep.
And your prayer was so on point. It just brought automatic peace.
Yeah, God is good.
But I have a question. First, I want to comment on T.D. Jakes mm-hmm. Having his stroken out in front of his big church in front of everyone. Mm-hmm. And then do you think it'll come to light that he had Fauci and a woman, a doctor, starts with O, that works for Pfizer, come to his congregation and talk to them about not having vaccine hesitancy, because they had statistics that showed that Christians were
very much
vaccine
so.
Hesitant.
And right. then, I'm not confident that is going to come out. Good. No, go on. What were you gonna say?
Well, do you think that I pray that some people look at it and understand and know what's hitting them? Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is the AI. So we've been in our family. We've been having conversations about the AI. As a matter of fact, the commercial right before us has a little bit of leaven, ruined the loaf, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we heard this commercial and it's like a real person, and then it has a total AI generated voice. I guess I understand it, and I'm wondering, why can some people see the AI and some people can't?
That's
and
a very,
they're not
very
only,
easy question.
They're not, what's that?
It's a very easy answer, but go ahead on to your other point.
Okay, but a lot of Christians can't see it either. I mean, hardcore, like dialed in, you know, big old sinners,
right.
you know,
right.
and they can't see it either.
Right.
But at the same time, your sermon is about the faith, like having the faith, like some people are just born with more faith than other people. Well, I shouldn't say other people, because it's not a competition, which I unfortunately always like to have everything as a competition. So anyway,
you do see different measures of faith with different people. That's obvious. Like, we all have different gifts. You definitely see that, right?
Right.
Oh, you definitely see that. That is a component that plays into it. I'm looking at the clock. I got about 1 minute. And I think I'm going to carry that question over just to deal with it. But let me start back by dealing with your first question. Your first question was around what?
T.D. Jakes, and
yeah,
will,
okay.
will
got
people
it.
Wake up
got
more
it.
When he?
Yeah, that's it's maybe not. I got both of them. Maybe not, because T.D. Jakes was kind of like Rick Warren, kind of like all of our big national preachers. I can say that for a fact, that when you're that big, the government targets you to be a mouthpiece for their agenda, because you have influence over the populace. And T.D. Jakes played that out to the hilt, meaning he was not a gospel preacher. Anyone that listens to him for a year can know that. He didn't warn people about hell. He didn't preach the true gospel. He was very, very manipulative with his language and his word. He was a psycho preacher, and a lot of people were drawn in by his charisma. But he played the edges fully for wealth, fame, and prominence, so much so that we would call him, according to the Pilgrim's Progress, worldly wise man. And you know, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And he was on the broad road, like many of them are on the broad road. And every now and then we get to see consequences of people on the broad road. I'll talk about it on Sunday. Christ will lift the skirt. He will expose them. But the question will be, will people learn? You know, the issue is, do people learn when God exposes, you know, wicked behavior? Do people learn? Anyhow, I'm on a heartbreak. I'll answer both of those on the other side. You're listening to the Monday edition of Lifeline. Two lines open, 1-888-367-5329. We'll be right back.
To join the conversation, call 888-4KFAX. That's 888-FOR-KFAX. And now back to Lifeline.
All right, we are back. And before we go into the next call, I do want to talk about the idea of illumination, prescience, the capacity to see things that are important to see in relationship to faith. That's what Lisa is asking about, and how that's different for all kinds of people for all kinds of reasons. And I want to reiterate that. It's different for all kinds of people for all kinds of reasons. It's different all kinds of reasons. It's different at different times and different seasons, as we're learning in the Romans 14 text. There are people with weak faith. There are people with strong faith. Now, just because you say you have strong faith doesn't mean you have strong faith. So strong or weak faith is not a consequence of your declaration of it. And most mature people who would be ostensibly known for commendable faith would say that their faith is weak, because they would understand that in relationship to the impeccable manifestation of the Son of God, when he assumed our nature and walked this earth, all of our faith is weak in that regard compared to his. So when we talk about weak and strong faith, it's subjective, you know, compared to what, right? But in relationship to seeing critically important things, I want to add this in relationship to faith. As I talked about the trifecta of the conscience, sound doctrine, and faith, that a person can be taught sound doctrine, but because their faith is operating at a minuscule level and their conscience is not confirmed and strengthened to walk consistent with sound doctrinal teaching, as Paul is teaching, the weakness of their faith is a consequence of a failure to harmonize what they're being told, what they're being taught, and how they are to lean into that in trust for God. So you got the children of Israel in 1 Samuel 17, seeing Goliath in that valley ready to fight, and all of Israel's soldiers are ready to run for the hills, including the king. And David is the only one that is willing to engage this guy. And that's because David not only had a vision that transcended the massive size of Goliath, which vision was really a vision of the perfections and fullness and sufficiency and majesty of Christ. As we learned on Sunday, if the object of your focus, if the central object of your focus is crystal clear and is a constant frame of reference for you, whatever is going on in your life, everything will be measured in light of that constant frame of reference. So when we talk about keeping your eyes on Christ, understanding that in the fullness of how revelation works, how clarity works, how understanding works, how insight works, illumination works, we see everything in the light of God's word, in the light of the revelation of Christ. As David said in the Psalms, in your light, we shall see light. What David is admitting is, if we're not walking in the light of the Lord, nothing is revealed to us. Christ said, I am the light of the world. And so to what degree I am walking in fellowship with him, when he shows me what he shows me, I must see that in light of who he is as the majestic sovereign Lord over it. That will inform my faith to take in that doctrinal truth that underlays that revelation and grant me comfort to respond to that thing appropriately. But if my faith is not grounded and rooted in a growing reciprocal relationship of God's word, because faith must feed on the promises of God in order to mature and grow, I can see all kinds of things and I won't be compelled to affirm them. I won't be compelled to respond to them. I might very well say, I see it, but I don't believe it. I see it, but I don't want to see it. I see it, but I don't care about it. All kinds of things can occur. And then, and therefore, when people say, I don't see it the way you see it, there can be all kinds of reasons for which that's the case. One is, what I am seeing may or may not be true. So, you know, that's always subject. What they are not seeing may be the consequence of a ton of factors. So according to Romans 14, I'm not to judge them. I'm to assess that they may not see what I see, and I don't get to ride roughshod over their conscience just because they don't see it, even though I wish they would, because if they would see what I would see, then they would understand why I respond the way I do. So when we're talking about things like this massive, strong delusion, this working of lies, this energy of going astray that took place over the last 4 years called the COVID scam, when we are talking about that and how it impacted the whole world in a fifth generation psycho warfare manner, mass psychosis, and all kinds of other psychologically traumatic consequences proceeding out of that, that definitely is a matter of faith. We do have to ask questions like, what was the world doing that it was so distracted, so led astray, so preoccupied, having its head so deep into the sand, when these alarms, when these signals, when these salient events started to occur, that they did not use the necessary objective discretion to determine the validity of those things or not, but were trapped by fear. Fear has torment, and as we were taught, perfect love casts out fear. But if I'm dealing with a deficient faith, a deficient grounds of knowledge, a deficient understanding of what Scripture says about the deception of these last times, and then that deception comes like a storm, it came like a flood, and it knocked people down. People are still in the throes of that traumatic event. They aren't ready to deal with the truth. They aren't ready to admit that they were wrong. They are not ready to admit that their government, including Trump, lied to them. They're not ready for that. They're not ready for that. And that, what that means is we're not quite ready for this landscape of battle that we're in, because the Bible has told us the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. Satan is the father of lies, and men are liars. So why are we acting like that? That is not the case. It is certainly the case. And the sooner Christians pick up on that, they can learn how to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. All of us are going to be different in our measure. All of us are going to be different in our responses. And if there's any kind of obligatory component, Lisa, on our part with that, is that if we as Christians don't take becoming sound in doctrine, and therefore developing discernment seriously, we will be part of the broad road of gullible Christians that gets lied to again and again and again. Let me say one more thing about artificial intelligence, because we could do a whole show about that. Got to take another break here in a moment. But that thing is so ubiquitous now. It is so pervasive now. It is so prominent in our spaces now that there's virtually nothing happening in our world, in the area of technology or social media. And I can go through a whole litany and list of a bunch of other things where artificial intelligence is not governing our world. We are going to be shocked in a little while when the beast emerges up out of the bottomless pit and say, hey, I am artificial intelligence sent to you by Satan in order to deceive the whole world massively, even unto destruction. This is where we're headed. This is where we're going. And this is what we're dealing with even now. It's very profound. But if you're not by faith ready to deal with that dragon, then you don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. This is the Monday edition of Lifeline. Got to take another break. When I come back, I'll get on the phone lines with you. 1-888-367-5329. 1-888-367-5329. We'll be right back.
To join the conversation, call 888-4KFAX. That's 888-FOR-KFAX. And now back to Lifeline.
We will get to our phone calls in just a second. The hope of the gospel versus the hopium of politics. The hope of the gospel versus the hopium of politics. I'm conflating hopium with opium. And in fact, I'm not doing this. James Corbett doing it. But this here is a concept that integrates politics with the derogatory but sometimes credible, we would call it faint praise, and even a derogatory assertion by I want to call him not Freud, but not Darwin. Darwin said it too. He'll come up in a moment. Karl Marx, that religion is the opiate of the people. Religion is the opiate of the people. Now, that was a derogatory expression yielded by him because he saw the evidence of how people stick their head in the sand, deny reality at the empirical level in the name of Jesus. That does make it a psychological opiate. That makes the Bible a psychological opiate. If you cry, you know, certain Bible passages that don't really correspond with what you're going through and you're trying to overcome what you're going through by quoting a Bible verse rather than seeing reality for what it is. This is called the hopium, the opium of religion. James Corbett is talking about the hopium of politics. What is that? It's conflating the word hope with politics. Politics always gives you a false hope, which is nothing but an opioid. The political specter or hopioid is a pseudo happiness, a false happiness that's experienced by those that merely or just vote. We're talking about the conversation I had with Tanshare around voting. This is why I pressed into it. You don't want to just vote, because if your happiness is predicated upon the right person winning and your sadness is predicated upon the wrong person winning, then for you, politics is a hopioid. It's an opium. It's an opium. In the same way, religion is an opium as well. And the enemy loves using the diabolical dialectical process, swinging people left and right, as you know, creating division among people groups, because some people have the hopioid of politics, others have the hopioid of religion, rather than the hope of the gospel that sheds light on the darkness of both systems. This is a very fascinating thing when you see it. Both systems have the capacity of blinding you. They can be partially helpful if they are managed well, and they can be significantly problematic if not. And we need to continue to wake up to that reality. Let's go to line number one and talk with Misty. Misty, are you there? Misty on line number one. If Misty is not there, let's go to line number four and talk with Misty.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Things are crazy. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing? That's what I want to know.
I'm just dealing with frontline stuff 24 hours a day out here in the storms.
Where are you at?
I just had something that came to mind in reference to the woman that was speaking earlier talking about. Now, I know the Lord protects us, and I know no weapon is formed against us is supposed to prosper. But, you know, you've got to read about how the people in the Bible, how they were killed, how they died. This is a war. And Paul was beheaded. James, I just read, was killed by sword. Mark was drugged through the streets. So, I mean, it's not all fluffy and buttercups. And, you know, just that everything is going to be fine. We're just going to stay home in our warm house and eat our cookies. It's just not how it is. It's an absolute war.
You know, I agree with you in part, and so I'm going to do this. I'm going to agree that on the battlefield, it's a war. In the battlefield, there is definitely a war, and we need to know about it. I talk about it every day. You know that. That's why you still listen from time to time, because I'm talking about real issues, real battles. Real battles are going on, but you do know this too, Misty. You can have peace in the midst of the battle, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, right now, I mean, all kinds of 20,000 wars going at once, like every level on everywhere, everything.
This is really true.
Yeah, I have knowing the truth. But the truth is also that that thing that cuts like a sword, you know, the Lord conceives into the truth. But it's just where the body is still asleep. It's not the way it is out here.
I totally agree with that, but you're looking through the lens of one landscape of battle, and because of that, I have to limit full agreement with you, and you should know that. On the one hand, we are in a unending, relentless battle on all fronts, and like you stated, this is from the top to the bottom. This is across every sector of society. But there is also the peace that's in our heart because we have the full armor of God on. And in the context of what our dear sister was saying, she's absolutely right. There's a joy in the midst of the battle, even when you are taken captive for Christ's sake, even when you are beheaded for Christ's sake, even when you are hanged upside down for Christ's sake, even when you're dragged through the street behind horses for Christ's sake, as was James the Pious, not Mark, but James the Pious, as almost all of the apostles died horrible deaths, and John probably wished he would have died having been put in boiling oil. But we know the promise of the gospel, do we not, Misty, that if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And that gives you a peace that passes understanding. You know that. That's the thing that has kept you thus far. So I am going to agree with you, and I'm going to agree with my sister as well, that when we draw nigh to God, he draws near to us. And when we fight this battle vigorously, sometimes we're going to not do so well, and we still need the mediatorial work of our great Savior to come in and keep us from utterly falling. And you know that's the case as well. I'm going to give you the last word.
Right. But my only point is that it's not like everything is just going to be fine. You know, some people are saved and they battle cancer young and they're taken out. The Lord doesn't spare them. And
it's
heartbreaking.
That's right. And that's a big reality around our world on tons of level. That level of suffering is massive and real, but he still grants them a peace in their soul that manifests the supernatural presence of the Spirit of God and the person of Christ in them. They still get to bear record, even in their affliction, of the goodness of God. You must know that.
Yeah, let me tell you. Okay, but you get my drift. It's absolutely unbelievable.
It's not unbelievable. You continue to hope and you continue to fight the good fight of faith, and don't be weary in well doing, young lady. You will reap if you faint not. Thank you for the call, my dear sister. That's Misty, you guys. Misty, I was talking about you in the Bible study the other day. And thankful for you, and thankful that you're still alive and still fighting this good fight of faith as well. Let me go to line. Let me see. I want to keep this in order so I don't get in trouble. I'll go to line number two and talk with Jermaine. Jermaine on line number two. Jermaine, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah, thank you for your patience, brother. I was trying to get all the sisters in right quick.
Oh, hey, no problem. I appreciate hearing them.
Me too. What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, I guess I would say I'm very thankful that we have formats like these that we can express our opinions, and we don't have to rely on just the regular legacy news to kind of feed us this nonsense that they've been feeding us for so long. And, you know, propaganda just kind of embeds in your mind and you become kind of pliable. But I'm very thankful that we have these as an outlet, because I really don't know how I would have made it the last few years had it not been for somebody else to talk to that had a like mind. And if anything, any observations I had, I would say I'm simultaneously thankful in that I learned that all these things that sounded like conspiracy were real. The existence That's of the right. Boule and That's all right. these alleged secret societies that are right in our faces, these, you know, some of these fraternities and places that people seem to go to them way in advance, and they almost have their career plotted out for them.
And yes, hold on for a second. I'm going to take a break, pay some bills. I'm going to come back right back with you as we deal with the dark forces that are operating at the oligarchy level. They are real. That people don't want to believe it simply means the CIA is doing their work. We'll be right back.
To join the conversation, call 888-4KFAX. That's 888-FOR-KFAX. And now back to Lifeline.
We are certainly back, and the time is 6:35. Two lines are open if you want to join our conversation. 1-888-367-5329. 1-888-367-5329. Back to Jermaine on line number two. So, yeah, Jermaine. People who are informed that, you know, they're puppet masters behind almost every system that prevails in our world, not just our government, but our world, NGOs, et cetera. People who push back on the puppet master paradigm are people who are willingly gullible. This also goes back to Lisa's observation that, you know, whenever we hear the term conspiracy theory, and I've taught us this over the last couple of years, and you know it well, as soon as a person says that's a conspiracy theory, what we can say is you are trapped by Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. The simple believe every word, but the prudent looks well to his going. So the prudent person is going to press through the superficial propaganda of the mainstream media and find the levers that are generating the propaganda that comes through the mainstream media. And we're going to discover that those levers are just a few prominent institutions that basically governs all of our news outlet, just like the case was in the days of the Soviet Union, when Pravda gave all of the independent news outlets their talking points. We have seen this clearly laid out in independent media. One of the things I want to say, and I'll let you talk here. I actually thank God for the breakup of the monopoly of your three-letter industries. And I'm not talking about the CIA, FBI, you know, FDA, CDC, and all of that. Those still need to be dealt with. I'm talking about media. Because we have, you guys, a massive proliferation of independent media outlets, which is a consequence of the social media technology of internet. Because we have this massive proliferation of independent medias, we are in a small window. We are in a small window. We are in a small window of yet to be unchecked media that can give us information, insight, and labor. And almost all of these outlets that are doing yeoman's work are hardworking men and women who fit the category of the savior motif, of the single savior motif of the judges. And God raised up a leader, raised up a judge, raised up a savior to deliver his people. As I have told you, the nature of the gospel is that he'll raise up one here, raise up one there, raise up one here, in order to be a trumpet blower, to be a whistleblower, to be a conveyor of the truth, as was the case with John the Baptist, as was the case with the Lord Jesus, and then the apostles. We take that paradigm, map it onto our world today, and we honor the men and women who suffer for the truth's sake to pull the curtain back for us to see the Wizard of Oz, or for us to be brave enough to say the emperor has no clothes on, whatever the analogy is, the Truman story, so many analogies I've given us to help us see what's going on. This window of time, Ezra called a small mercy of the Lord, that window is going to close at some point, though, Jermaine, where it's going to be very difficult to detect or find legitimate platforms that can communicate the facts to us on the ground. Right now, that is the case, but there's a time coming, and this is where Lisa was talking about artificial intelligence, and I can tell you the goal is to monopolize all platforms, control them, either force those platforms to speak according to their narrative or shut them down, period. But right now, we have the freedom to peruse through many of them, and they give us great insight, great resources, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're still fighting the good fight of faith. Go ahead on. I'll give you the last observation.
Right. And, what I was saying before is that you get to see kind of an expose of tactics that were used during this last few years, especially in this election cycle. And speaking just to what you said, you see a lot of counter programming using those same platforms that allow so much freedom. Then the other side started putting their own folks out there. So you have to, in my opinion, you have to really pray and look at things through a biblical lens so you can see how to sift through all the nonsense and get to the core of what's actually real and what isn't. And at the end of the day, like I said, I'm glad we went through this because we got to see a lot of information that I think can really help us. And forgive me if this sounds wrong, but I enjoyed some of the meltdowns I'm witnessing because I'm related to some of these people. And it opened up a lot of conversation. And I say, when other people who were not on your side, quote unquote, lost, they didn't act like this. And what is it that makes you have this reaction, this fear, and this just mental unwinding? And a lot of them, the only conclusion I came to with some was just you fell into a version of idol worship. And you thought these people were going to save you, and they weren't. And now you kind of have to deal with things. And God forbid, if things actually go well, then they'll find something else to look for. So, that's my take on it.
Yeah, no, it's very good. What you did in your analysis, I'll just share this with the group, is take, segments of all three of my teaching forms and homogenize them. We are talking about the ability to be able to stay on a narrow path, have a perspective of glory that allows us to endure difficulties. We are talking about recognizing when we see timorous and characters who are going the other way. We are thanking God for recognizing worldly wise men and characters who, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would slip down those pathways as well. And so far as the note that you're making around the meltdowns and that measure of satisfaction you get, that's a temporary satisfaction that you merit because of how harassing and how vicious and how atrocious and how diabolical the left has been. And I will state that categorically because I've dealt with that heat very close up. A lot of my relatives are leftists, and it's just very clear for many of us, and sadly, is many leftists like that in the Christian community, which means we've been infiltrated to that degree. But then also on the right, I make sure that I let the right know that you're not right just because you're on the right, and that there is a hoodwinking happening on the right now as well. This has to do with blind spots. If you don't walk in the equilibrium of a kind of overview of both parties, if you don't keep an objective view on the dialectic, sure, temporarily, some things were staved off by not having Kamala, win the election. But there's a whole slew of things that we got to deal with now that Trump is in, because I'm giving you guys the sad news that there are tons of policies that he is advocating that are going to still keep in place and entrench the globalist agenda, for which free men and women are going to have to hold him accountable. And whenever you hold leaders accountable, it sounds like you are against them. But really what it is we are for God's glory. We are for God's people. We are for the truth being communicated, even though it feels like we are against them. We are not against your idol, like you called it, their idol. Your idol is keeping you weak. Your idol is not liberating you. And that's how that is. And so we want to be careful to know that if we're not seeing things through the prism of Jesus Christ, we are going to be blinded and we're going to be made weak and we're going to be disappointed as well. Thank you for the call, my dear brother. I'm going to start with James. Then we're going to take a break. James on line four. James, are you there?
Hey, PJ, how you doing, brother?
Good, good, good. We'll take a few minutes to set the table and then I'll come back with you. What's going on?
Okay. I missed the first few minutes, but you were asking what we're thankful for.
Of course.
And I'm starting with here. I've always been trying to work it from text, from 1 Thessalonians, from Thessalonians 5:14. I strive to be thankful for everything. Not for everything, but in everything.
Sure.
You know what I mean? In everything. And then that applies to, you know, everything in my life, whether it be the election, no matter what it is, I know that our God is in control, which leads me to the comment I was going to make on artificial intelligence, which I don't care anything about artificial intelligence. I respect it, but I don't really... It doesn't intimidate me, but what I do say to it is I don't care anything about it because of the fact that the relationship I have with the intelligent designer, okay? So, the relationship with him will then lead us into all truth, which is why the sincere believer is a threat, not really a threat, not even a fear, but they don't regard us. They don't regard us because we're so few in numbers, because the narrow is so road, it's only this few to find it. But we're still for God. And as I say that, I think they kind of look over us, but they know they can't control us. So I'll leave
now. No, it's very good. I got to take a break. We'll finish up on the other side. We'll be right back.
And now back to Lifeline.
And we are back. We have a few minutes before our show ends. Going back to James, James, did you have a final observation, or was your last point your concluding thought?
That's my concluding thought. That's it. That's good.
let me kind of chime in on the importance of that observation. Let's extrapolate. Let's generalize it across the challenge. For the people of God, it's always their obligation to, you know, get their news from the good news of the scripture, Genesis to Revelation. But that also requires on their part a level of sanctification and commitment to God in Christ that will grant them access to the insights of scripture that will transform them in such a way that they have an effective lens to see the world. You would know as well as I, and this goes back to Lisa's very salient question. How is it that we can know so many people who profess faith in Christ and we wouldn't question their faith, even though we are not their savior? We've already learned that in Romans 14. He's the judge and the savior. We're not questioning that, but we have every right to assess the level of understanding, insight, and therefore responsibility on their part to the things they claim to believe and know. And when you look at the church as a whole, we can look at all the extremes. I'll just take Tanchea's celebration of the peace that passes understanding, keeping our heart and mind in Christ Jesus, a fundamental principle. But also I can swing over to the other side and deal with Misty in the midst of a battle and a warfare that I can hear very clearly is showing up with some fatigue, some emotional duress, some spiritual fatigue. I'll use that as the word for lack of a better phrase. And I can understand that because she's human, as is Tanshia. And take those two extremes and then take Lisa's her curiosity as a believer, being concerned about all of these different variables, these different spectrums of understanding, insight, and application on the part of the believers. The body of Christ as a whole looks to be very much sleepwalking, with the exception of some. And we don't even get to really identify who that some is, but we can look at the aggregate whole and understand that the church is rent by schisms. That's the way that the hymn writer put it. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. She's wrought with wars and schisms. And she looks bad because, you know, there's, again, what Paul talked about, the Corinthian effect of every man has a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, a vision. And those effects are a consequence of the Babylonian system entering into the church, destroying the hierarchy of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. God the Father, Christ the Son, then man, and then woman, and then the church via that structure. So the church has aided and abetted in the destruction of its own, as did Israel. This is the wild thing that's taking place today. Israel has shown nothing but a pathological history of departing from God's word. I was meditating on Jeremiah 5:31 today. The prophet prophesies falsely. The priest bear rule by his own means. And that's bad because that's leadership. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their own means. That means they just make up things as they go. Mm-hmm. Sounds like our government. But the people love to have it so. Mm-hmm. So you know, we're dealing with history repeating itself on so many levels. But of course, in Jeremiah's day, in Isaiah's day, in Ezekiel's day, in Daniel's day, and even the minor prophets, there were believers who held to the principle, now the just shall live by faith, and would be able to walk in relationship to that word that was given to them concerning the coming of Messiah. But nevertheless, it's with struggle, it's with pain, it's with difficulty, it's with family members, it's with sons and daughters, it's with husbands and wives that are defecting and departing from the true and the living God. It's with carnality at the top ranks. I mean, this is why I'm warning you guys in our email feed about this whole, what we call, it's the cycle and pattern, realignment patterns. These realignment patterns are revelations. We want to be careful about, where did this person come from? Where did that person come from? Why was he on the left 3 years ago and now on the right? Why was he viscerally hostile to borders 2 years ago, but now he's completely for Trump, et cetera, et cetera? All of these are realignment schemes because the way warfare is set up, and I'll be talking to us about that hopefully in the very near future, realignment of persons to reestablish a trajectory for war at the second level is the way you confuse people. You confuse people by putting people together, getting people from the left and the right, and that's what Trump is doing. You confuse people, you disarm them, you give them a hopiate instead of a real hope, an opium of possibility, but it's predicated upon a real set of inconsistent factors. And now you got to put more hope into that administration than the confidence that would come with them being consistent in their pattern of walk, consistent in their walk of faith, consistent in their worldview. Almost all of them are adopting a Christian position. I watched a video a couple weeks ago concerning Elon Musk. He's supposed to be a Christian now, but look, he just sent out a video mocking CNN with a little whore clip on his ex, and her butt is out, and you know, something like that is uncalled for Christians. You don't need to do that. You don't need to mock CNN by putting a prostitute with her butt out in their face. But all this goes to show that a lot of this that's going on the right, you guys, is not real Christianity. We need to be careful to understand the battle and the warfare. Fly above the target. Fly above the target. See the left and the right for what they're doing. That's why John says, do not be deceived, beloved. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. He that does not continue in patterns of righteousness is not righteous. And all we need to do is be careful before we, you know, make claims and just watch, and you shall know them by their fruits. We got to keep doing that, not only with them, but with ourselves too. And then when God gives us enough clarification on those patterns, we can put them out there, as do I. We're not in this next battle. This next battle is getting ready to happen between now. Got you, Myra. This next battle is about to happen. And it's going to happen either right before Trump is sworn in or right after Trump is sworn in. And I do want to say this, that we haven't awakened yet. People are waking up, but we haven't awakened. We can easily go back to sleep. We can easily go back to sleep and be trapped. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord give you his shalom. In him who is Yeshua Hashim, Jesus, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
Opinions expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily represent the views of the ownership, staff, or management of KFAX. Copyright Salem Communications, all rights reserved.